I want you to think about a time you created, like a tiny little shortcut to save yourself maybe just a few minutes of hassle.
Oh, yeah.
You know the exact feeling I'm talking about. You
Yeah.
set up some automatic email filter, or maybe you create a quick macro on your
All
keyboard.
right. Just to clear out the junk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you pat yourself on the back for being so incredibly.
That visual just captures the sheer scale of what we are analyzing today perfectly. Because when we set up these little digital automations, we tend to view them through a very, very narrow lens.
Yeah, for
We
sure.
think, we are just removing a single manual step from our day. But we rarely step back to consider that by removing that friction, we might be fundamentally changing the entire architecture of how we work.
Right.
And ultimately, like what we end up producing as a byproduct of that new architecture.
Which brings us to the mission of our deep dive today, because we are looking at a honestly a brilliant case study on exactly that phenomenon. It's a piece from a developer named Vinny. And it literally just hit the web today, August 11th, 2026. The post is aptly titled The Accidental Podcast. And I mean, it operates as this masterclass on what happens when a simple attempt to save time just completely cascades into a massive, totally unintended project.
It really is a compelling read because it takes this highly technical concept, software automation, background pipelines, and it uses it to reveal a very human truth. A truth about how we allocate our time and our attention in an era where, honestly, creation is becoming almost effortless.
Well, before we can stand back and marvel at this massive accidental botanical garden, we need to understand the initial seeds that were planted. Like, why did Vinny even start tinkering with audio generation in the first
Oh,
place?
right, the origin story.
Yeah, and it actually started with a very relatable problem of his own making, the problem of the massive word count.
Oh, yes. He noted that his written essays were just getting incredibly long. They were requiring a massive time investment from anyone trying to read them. And he specifically points to a previous post of his, which is ironically titled Where the Saved Hour Goes, and that one clocked in at roughly 2,600 words.
Which is basically a small novel in the context of a developer blog.
That really is.
I mean, if you've ever tried to read a dense 2,600 word essay, that takes at least like 10 to 15 minutes of unbroken, highly focused attention.
Yeah, and he realized this was way too much to ask of a reader, especially someone who is just, trying to squeeze in some intellectual stimulation on their lunch break.
Right, yeah.
You can't just skim a piece that long and that dense while you're like eating a sandwich. You can't expect to absorb the core ideas, let alone the nuance of the argument.
No, not at all.
It requires active cognitive engagement.
So to solve this bottleneck of reader attention, he turns to a tool by Google. And for the sake of clarity, he references Notebook LM in the text.
Right.
But as anyone following the AI space knows, Google literally just rebranded that tool to Gemini Notebook last month in July of 2026.
Yeah, the
He
rebrand.
uses the older name in his essay because that's the platform he was working with when this whole saga kind of kicked off.
Yeah.
Anyway, he specifically utilizes a feature within it called Audio Overview.
And this is where the underlying mechanics get really interesting because audio overview is designed around a concept called source grounding.
Okay, unpack that a bit.
So, for anyone unfamiliar with the term, source grounding means that instead of the AI just, hallucinating an answer based on everything it has ever scraped from the open internet.
Which they love to do.
Exactly, they love to do that. But here, it is strictly locked in a room with only the specific text you provide. It is forced to base its entire output solely on those parameters.
Right.
But the audio overview doesn't just read the text back to you like some traditional monotone text-to-speech robot. It synthesizes your source material and turns it into this dynamic back-and-forth conversation between two relentlessly upbeat AI hosts.
He actually jokes in the post that these AI hosts could find deep, compelling drama in a standard tax document.
It's so true. They are very enthusiastic.
Yeah, and most importantly for his specific problem, they never once complained about his massive 2,600 word counts. But wait, I have to push back on his logic here for a second. Yeah, because there is this wonderful irony in his solution that I cannot
Okay,
ignore.
lay it out. What is the disconnect for you?
Look at his initial problem. He is worried about overwhelming his audience with too many words, right?
Yes.
He is actively concerned about contributing to information overload. So what does he do? He leans on an AI tool that fundamentally generates more content.
Ah, I see what you mean.
He essentially fought information overload by giving people a 20-minute audio file. It feels so counterintuitive. It's like saying, hey, I know this article is way too long for you to read on your lunch break, so here is an even longer conversation about it that you now have to listen to.
Well, it does sound contradictory on the surface, for sure. But looking at the mechanism of how we consume media reveals why this actually works.
Okay, how so?
He wasn't trying to reduce the absolute volume of information. He was trying to change the cognitive load required to process it.
Oh, interesting.
Think about it. Reading 2,600 words requires active, unbroken visual and mental focus. You have to sit still and dedicate your eyes to the screen.
Right. You can't be doing anything else.
Exactly. But listening to a 20-minute audio file operates on an entirely different mental bandwidth. It can be consumed passively while your body is doing something else entirely.
Right. Yeah.
He's shifted the burden from the reader's active, constrained lunch break to their passive commute or, you know, their gym session or walking the dog.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's not about the sheer volume of the content. It's about reducing the friction of the delivery mechanism.
For nicely.
Like, you can listen to a conversation while doing the dishes, but you definitely can't read a 2,600-word essay while your hands are covered in soapy water.
And that shift from active reading to passive listening makes the ideas accessible again. But doing this manually for every single post, that introduces a new type of friction for the creator.
Oh, absolutely.
Taking the finished text, uploading it to the AI tool, waiting for the audio to render, downloading the file, and then manually attaching an audio player to the blog, that is a neat party trick for a single essay.
Yeah, doing it once is fun.
But repeating it constantly, it becomes a massive chore. And doing that manual busy work every single week is exactly the kind of repetitive friction developers absolutely hate.
They despise it.
They really do.
Yeah.
So, Vinny applied a golden rule of coding. One that a lot of developers basically live and die by. If you repeat a manual step twice, you automate it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever used a tool like, say, Zapier or Apple Shortcuts to automate your own digital life, you know exactly how intoxicating this feeling is. You just want the machine to do the heavy lifting.
It is a highly effective rule for efficiency, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But as we see in this case study, it carries, well, unforeseen consequences.
Yeah, so he sets up this invisible pipeline to handle the audio generation. And I think we should demystify how this actually works because it isn't magic. It's just really, really clever plumbing.
Right, let's break it down.
The trigger for this entire workflow is incredibly simple. All he has to do is hit publish on his plain text markdown file.
And for anyone who hasn't used Markdown, it is essentially just a super lightweight way to format text without dealing with some clunky word processor. Yeah, it's just raw text with some simple symbols for bolding or headers.
Exactly. So the moment that Markdown text is published, his blog platform fires off a digital signal, which is often called a webhook.
Oh, wait.
That signal basically knocks on the door of the AI API, hands over the raw text of the essay, and triggers the generation process entirely in the background.
So the workflow automatically wakes up, it submits the essay, it waits for Google servers to render that conversational audio, pulls that finished audio file back down, and then seamlessly embeds an audio player directly into the live blog post.
It's brilliant.
It is. And there's zero human intervention required after hitting publish. It's literally like a modern-day Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, I love that comparison.
Right. But instead of a creepy little guy demanding your firstborn child in a tower, it's just a digital script running quietly on a server somewhere. It is spinning straw. These raw, plain text markdown files into gold, which is the finished, polished audio.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it entirely in the shadows. You just hit publish and walk away.
And the absolute invisibility of that plumbing is the critical factor here. He actually notes in the post that there is nothing particularly groundbreaking about the technical setup itself.
Really?
Yeah. It is a very standard API automation workflow. The profound part is what happened to his own awareness of the system he built.
Oh, right.
Because the plumbing worked so flawlessly and required zero maintenance, he completely forgot it existed.
He literally just walked away.
Yeah.
And the system kept doing its job week after week. Once he hit publish on an essay, his brain immediately moved on to the next project.
Exactly.
He didn't even have to remember that the audio version was being created.
Which sets the perfect stage for the massive realization he had last week.
Yes. So he is reviewing some audio for a brand new post. He casually opens the cloud destination folder where all these generated files are supposed to land. and he is just floored.
I can only imagine his face.
Right, because sitting right there in the directory is a fully accumulated 22-episode back catalog dating all the way back to April.
22 full episodes.
Yeah.
Produced with the exact same conversational format, featuring the exact same relentlessly upbeat AI hosts, perfectly formatted, and with absolutely zero missed deadlines over a span of 4 months.
And he writes this incredible line in the post. He says the show was already running entirely on its own. It was just, quote, too polite to announce itself.
That is just brilliant. And it highlights the bizarre, almost autonomous reality of modern digital automation.
Yeah, it really does.
We build these systems to serve us, but they operate with such silent efficiency that they can outpace our own awareness of our output.
Yeah, looking at this entire sequence of events, it feels like the real breakthrough here isn't the code itself. It isn't the webhook or the API.
No.
It's that by automating the plumbing so thoroughly, he accidentally deleted his own decision-making process.
Exactly.
He built a fully functional automated podcast production pipeline before he ever actually sat down and made the conscious choice, I'm going to start a podcast.
Right.
The cost of making an episode just vanished, and the episodes literally willed themselves into existence.
And that vanishing cost is the perfect illustration of marginal cost theory, which honestly sits at the philosophical core of his essay.
Okay, let's dive into that.
So in traditional economics, we usually think of automation as a tool to do the same work we always do, just faster or cheaper.
Right.
If you are digging a ditch with a shovel and you invent a backhoe, you dig the ditch much faster.
Right, it's a speed upgrade for physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
But the ditch was always going to be dug. You still had to decide to turn on the backhoe and steer it.
Exactly. In the physical world, dropping marginal costs usually retains that human decision point. But in the digital realm, especially with AI, when the marginal cost of creating something, in this case, you know, the time, cognitive energy, and deliberate intent required to turn a written essay into an audio show, when that cost drops low enough, the effect fundamentally changes.
Wow, okay.
It is no longer just a speed upgrade. It is a phase shift in how creation happens. Work that historically required a heavy, deliberate, conscious decision becomes so utterly cheap and frictionless that it simply happens by default.
Creation by default.
Yeah.
That is a wild concept to wrap your head around. The artifacts, these 22 episodes, they stopped waiting for human permission to exist.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need Vinny to look at his schedule and carve out studio time. They just started accumulating the second the text hit the server.
And he ties this concept perfectly back to his earlier essay, Where the Saved Hour Goes.
Oh, right, the long one.
Yeah, the 2,600-word one. The underlying argument there is that a saved hour gained through efficiency does not simply sit there on a shelf waiting to be reclaimed as leisure time.
It never does.
Never. When we lower the cost of an activity, we almost always spend that newly unlocked capacity before we even register that it exists.
So in this specific case, his saved hour didn't translate into him sitting on the porch drinking iced tea and enjoying the afternoon.
Nope.
His saved hour went directly into the digital pipeline, and that pipeline quietly ate the hour and turned it into a 22-episode show while he was basically looking the other way. The low cost of creation fundamentally bypassed his own executive functioning.
Mm-hmm.
He was generating content faster than he could comprehend his own output.
Which brings us to the friction of creation. Because historically, the immense friction of making something was our primary filter for intent.
What do you mean?
Well, if you wanted to make a podcast 10 years ago, you really had to want to make a podcast.
Yeah, no,
you had to buy the microphones, figure out how to set up an RSS feed, secure hosting, isolate yourself in a quiet room, record the audio, and then spend hours editing the tape.
Yeah, it was a massive headache.
That massive wall of friction kept the sheer volume of content somewhat in check. You had to be dedicated.
Okay, so wait. If the friction goes to practically zero, and things are just generated by default in the background, does the value of human intentionality actually go up?
Oh, that's a great question.
Right, because are we losing the vital filter of having to make a deliberate choice to create something in the first place? Like, if everything is just accumulating in our digital folders automatically, aren't we going to just drown in our own default creations?
That is the exact tension we are facing as generative tools and automation pipelines mature. When the friction of creation disappears, the filter disappears right along with it.
Yeah.
And consequently, the value of human intentionality absolutely skyrockets.
Yeah.
Because generating the artifact is no longer the bottleneck.
Oh, we see.
Curation, editing, and actually choosing what deserves to exist and be shared becomes the new scarce resource.
So we are essentially transitioning from a culture of creators to a culture where we need to be aggressive editors of our own automated output.
Precisely.
We have to curate the botanical garden that just grew overnight.
And in Vinny's case, he stepped into that role of the editor after the fact. He looked at this massive back catalog that had generated itself in the dark. He evaluated its quality, and he made a conscious human decision to embrace the output rather than just delete it.
Right. He made the accident official. He actually gave the show a title, naming it Never the Stack.
Which is a great inside nod to an argument that runs through his broader work and his book. He frequently argues that the bottleneck in software development has never been the technologist stack itself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's always the human elements, the processes, and the communication.
Ah, I love that.
Yeah.
By taking himself entirely out of the production loop, he proved his own point.
Exactly.
The stack handled everything perfectly once the human bottleneck was removed. So this 22-episode archive officially became the launch catalog.
Mm.
And moving forward, a new episode will arrive automatically whenever he hits publish on a new text essay. The AI host will handle the talking, the automated pipeline will handle the rendering and distribution, and the human author just stays completely out of the way.
And for anyone listening who wants to see this accidental garden for themselves, he has set up all the necessary logistics. The hub for the project lives at vinny.devpodcast, and he has populated it with links for Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music, and even a plain RSS feed.
I always appreciate when creators include the raw RSS feed.
It's the best.
It really is. For anyone who isn't deep into podcasting tech, the RSS feed is basically the raw, unfiltered syndication pipe. It allows you to plug the show directly into whatever obscure podcast app you prefer, bypassing the big corporate walled gardens entirely.
Right.
It's like the original plumbing of podcasting.
He also makes a very self-aware concession at the very end of his post. He notes that if you don't want your essays read to you by two relentlessly upbeat AI hosts analyzing his work, he understands completely.
Fair enough.
The text versions remain right there on the blog, fully skimmable, for those who prefer their 2,600-word essays in total silence.
You know, this entire deep dive really invites us to look critically at our own digital lives. Like, think about your own desktop, your own inbox, your own daily routines.
Mm.
What invisible pipelines have you set up in your day-to-day work? When you find a tool or a macro that makes a task easier, where are your saved hours secretly going?
That's the real question.
Are they actually giving you more free time to step away from the screen? Or are they just quietly building a back catalog of some unintended project?
We often assume we are saving time, but we are frequently just reallocating our capacity to a machine that, frankly, doesn't know how to stop working.
Which leaves me with a final, honestly, somewhat terrifying thought to chew on.
Uh-oh.
We just spent this entire conversation analyzing how falling marginal costs mean that creation now happens by default. We are accumulating massive back catalogs of content without a single conscious human decision to create them.
Right.
But what happens when the bottleneck shifts from the creator to the audience?
Oh, wow. The consumption side of the equation is the next logical failure point.
Exactly. If an AI is writing the first draft of an essay by default, and then an automated pipeline is triggering AI hosts to discuss that essay on a 20-minute audio track by default, will the next inevitable step of automation require us to invent AI listeners?
Oh, goodness.
Right. Will we have to deploy bots just to consume the infinite backlog of default content we've accidentally created just to clear out our own queues?
It's like we set up the automatic sprinkler to save us a few minutes of watering the lawn.
Yeah.
But pretty soon, the botanical garden is growing so fast and so wildly out of control in the background that we might just have to build automated robots to walk through the paths and admire the flowers for us.
Because if the machines are creating the content while we sleep, we certainly won't have the time to listen to it all ourselves.